You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for Cordishi and Coit. Host Scott Cordishi.
You weren't on South Beach, were you? Probably would have stuck out pretty good, huh?
Oh,
phantom redheaded.
I went deep sea fishing than Key Largo.
Baby fucking wheels.
If it was a foot, I said easy, big fella.
Nick Coit.
Bob Kraft basically called Bill Belichick Barb.
Why are you crying?
Because Peter wanted to be with Maddie.
Don't let her go.
I love him.
Sports Radio WEEI.
Victor from Fall River, he's got a new nickname for you.
Come on, Coit.
He's no longer Valencia Red, Scott.
Yep.
It's Barcelona Blue Chew.
I'm back, baby!
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to open the season.
Nothing for you!
It's time for Cordishi and Coit.
And the Emmy goes to...
Here's your host, Scott Cordishi and Nick Coit.
I know my personality's dead, but yeah.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Cordishi and Coit on WEEI. Scott Cordishi, Nick Coit with you. And it's interesting that Laura Minicucci put a cut from the soup Nazi in our open this week.
I think the better one that I love is listening to George Costanza.
Easy, big fella.
I looked him right in the eye. Easy. Big fella. Is anyone here a marine biologist? So did I ever tell you this story? This is a funny one. Excuse me. So I'm at game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals for the Celtics a couple years ago when they were playing the Cavs with LeBron and kind of overachieving. And so it's pregame, and I'm standing there with a buddy of mine, Clay Gordon, who works at the NBC up in Portland, Maine. And he tells me, "Hey, I was just out at a sports bar doing a story, looking for, like, you know, people from Maine that are Celtics fans that are here, whatever, as like a pregame story, whatnot." And so I was like, "What, did you walk in the bar and what were you like, George Costanza and the marine biologist episode? Like, is anyone here from Maine? Is anyone here a marine biologist? You know, just sort of comparing the lines." When I said that, Scott, somebody was walking by that you would recognize, and he turned around and he said to me, "The sea was angry that day, my friends." It was Wick Grosbeck, the owner, the leader of the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that hilarious? Like, he heard me say the line, turned around, stopped in his tracks, looked at me and said, "The sea was angry that day, my friends," and walked away.
Like an old man sending soup back into deli.
That Seinfeld, man. Seinfeld just carries, man. It carries. But the fact that Wick Grosbeck stopped, and it was funny, too, because my buddy Clay is not from this area. He's from the Chicago area. So he said, "Who's that guy?" I said, "That would be Wick Grosbeck." Yeah, he leads the Celtics. Like, wow.
That's
hilarious.
Awesome.
Hilarious. So it carries.
Good stuff.
Yep.
401-737-1287, the phone number if you'd like to join us. Joe in Pawtucket is next. Joe, good morning. You are next on Cordishi and Coit and WEEI.
Good morning, Mr. Cordishi. Good morning, Mr. Hoy. How are you?
What's up, Joey?
Good. Lots to talk about this morning, so I'll get started. Okay. You guys have started this before you went off the air, commercial break. Who will have the most wins, Tampa Bay with Tom Brady or the Patriots with Bill Belichick? So I think the Patriots, I mean, I would like to see them do good, but, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback coming out in another couple of years, but Joe Burrow will be coming out this year. Too bad they can't trade up for one of those two guys. What are your thoughts about that? I have a couple more questions. When a receiver's clearly at fault for dropping an interception, why is it the quarterback starts with an interception when the receiver clearly bobbles the ball and the defender intercepts the ball or whatever and it charges the interception to the quarterback? And I got a trivia question for you.
Okay.
Which Heisman Trophy winner has the most touchdown passes in one season? I want you to guess on that.
Most touchdown passes in one season.
I was going to say, but I might be wrong with this. I don't think it's Joe Burrow. Is it a quarterback from Houston? Like, not Andre Ware.
You're talking about Case Keenum?
I don't know.
I'll give you guys the answer. Lamar Jackson last year, he had 36 touchdown passes. It was on First Take. It was on one of the sports.
Oh, you're talking about most touchdown passes in the NFL?
In the NFL, yeah, in one season.
Oh, I was thinking about when they won the Heisman Trophy. Okay.
Yes, and one more question from the show. Closest athlete to Michael Jordan in sports right now. A couple of people said for basketball, Clay Leonard, and another person said for all the sports, a couple of people said Patrick Mahomes. So I'll hear your thoughts.
Oh, that's a lot of ground to cover there, Joey.
It's a lot of stuff you're throwing at us this morning, Joe. I tell you that. So the closest, I always thought in terms of style of play, it was the late Kobe Bryant that was, to me, the closest to Michael Jordan. In terms of accomplishment and greatness, you could say Brady, because he has the championships to back it up, like MJ. You could say, you know, in terms of being one of the all-time greats in the sport of basketball, it's LeBron James, even though their styles of play are a little bit different. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's – I don't know. That's a whole broad
But let me go
topic.
Back to his first question, Nick. His first one was a good one. Who has more wins this year, the Patriots or the Bucks? According to the Vegas odds, both of them have over-unders of 9 wins this season.
Wow.
Tampa Bay and New England both at 9.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I would say because I think the roster is a little more established, and I think because you're inserting Brady in as quarterback, and I think it's sort of a missing piece, I would say the Bucs have more wins this year, but it's close.
And I would also go with Tampa too. I would. I don't know that they're necessarily over 9. I think they might be right around 9. I just think that I think the Patriots might be under that total.
Yeah, it's a tough division for the Bucs, so I don't want to go too far with their win total. But and also with the Patriots, it's the schedule. It really is. I look at it and it's brutal. It's brutal for, you know, a guy that's going to be stepping in as a young quarterback. I think I would go with the Bucks, but it's definitely close.
Here's the other thing, too. I think Bill Belichick is the best coach in all of football, but Bruce Arians is no slouch. He's a good coach.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And he's worked with some of these top quarterbacks. He's worked with Roethlisberger. He's worked with Manning. And so if there's going to be a coach that's going to take on Tom Brady, I think this is probably the guy. That's why with fit-wise, if he had gone to the Chargers, you know, is Anthony Lynn a guy that's going to be working with Tom Brady? Isn't he more of like a defensive-minded guy? That's what I've heard. Even putting him out there with the Raiders and Gruden. Gruden is, this is the second coming of Gruden, not the first time around. I think Gruden obviously was more established as a coach. I don't know. I think as a coach, this is the guy that you would want to go to, I think, because of the experience he has with, you know, big-time quarterbacks. He's going to give Brady the freedom here, you know, to work with the offense and just the weapons that he has, too. That's obviously a big talking point. And it's true because Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were, you know, they're very talented guys. And those are guys that can get open for Brady, which is what he needs right now.
Got a couple of texts here. One from the 401. This is perfect timing for the Patriots to crap the bed, attaining a great draft pick in 2021. At some time, every team has to rebuild 4-12.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to – maybe they do go 4-12, but I don't think they're consciously sitting there and saying – like, that hints at the tanking thing, and it just – they're not going to tank. It's not Bill Belichick, and I just – in football, it doesn't – I don't know. I know there's no lottery, so you could get guys – when you lose a lot of games, you can get a top draft pick. But I don't know. I just don't see that with Bill Belichick. I think he's going to field a competitive team. I think he's going to compete. And that's why I think it's evidenced by the fact that he re-signed Devin McCourty. He brought back Matthew Slater. He brought back a guard in Joe Tooney to try to, you know, shore up the offensive line for his young quarterback. There's still guys in this team. I think that if they were going to tank, they would sell off pieces. They wouldn't have re-signed McCourty. They would have... Maybe they would trade Julian Edelman. Maybe they would get rid of some of these guys. Like, I just think Gilmore. They're still, yeah, like exactly, guy like Gilmore, like keeping that around. You know, I think this team is going to have some strengths and weaknesses and all that, and also too, tanking for a quarterback. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that. Like some of the top quarterbacks that have come out, like, boy, that's a lot to invest, and you just don't know if. I know people talk about tank for Trevor Lawrence. Like, some of those quarterbacks work out, some of them don't. And I think Belichick has been able to identify, you know, quarterbacks that, you know, he can get later in the first round, in the second round, Jimmy Garoppolo being one of them, that he can coach up. And I think that's why they looked at Stidham last year. And, you know, I think it's misleading sometimes to look at it and say, well, he was only a fourth round pick. Well, where was he ranked in terms of the quarterbacks in the draft class? You know, I think he was top 10, I think, in the class. I'd have to go back and look at it. Like, that's where I look at it and I say, okay, he was one of the top quarterbacks coming out of this class. Like, he obviously saw something in him. He likes him. So, you know, let's see if he can coach him up. So, I don't know. Tanking. I just combined Trevor Lawrence and tanking. Tanking for Trevor Lawrence, to me, just... I'm not doing that. I'm just not. I think they're still going to compete this year.
This text from the 401, and I want to kind of get into this in detail a little bit and break it down. The Patriots' first three Super Bowls, the texter writes, were more Belichick in the defense than Brady. Belichick built the rosters. Belichick also read the Seattle sideline before the Butler interception. The defense shut down the greatest show on turf and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and the defense won the last Super Bowl as well. Brady handled the quarterback position. Brady was a great actor, but Belichick wrote the play. All right, so there's some things I agree with, some I disagree with. First of all, let's break down the first three Super Bowls. Number one, definitely more about special teams and defense in that first one, although with the game on the line, Brady did march them down the field and put them into field goal range for Vinatieri to win it. The second Super Bowl I disagree with you with. When they beat the Carolina Panthers, Brady and the offense played very well in that game, and they Yep. needed to beat Carolina. So I disagree that that one was more about defense. The third one, I'll give it to you. The Philly win in Jacksonville, I'll say that was a little bit more about the defense than it was about Brady and the offense. Then you go to the three modern-day Super Bowls. I think we can all agree Brady's performance against the Falcons was just out of this world. The Seattle one, same thing. I mean, that Seahawks defense was nasty that year, yet Brady and the Patriots offense found a way to carve them up and score when they needed to, but it was the defense in the end that came up with a huge play to seal the victory on the Butler interception. The last one, no question, was about the defense. The win over the Rams, 100%, was all about the Patriots' defense. Well, it was not about the offense.
And 51 was definitely about Brady and the offense with the comeback. Like that, he was just brilliant coming
yep,
back in that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty even on the scoreboard. Like these, it's a partnership. It was a partnership between these two guys. And they had all the success. Because of each other. They built each other up, and you know, there were times where they relied more on Brady. There were times where it was more about Belichick and the defense. Like I think, yeah, it's kind of even, I think. One had success with the other, and that's why it was a great partnership. And so, I don't know, it's tough to say it was more about this guy than that guy. Because I think they both shined in these 20 years at different times. And I think you just pointed it out, Scott. Like, okay, maybe there is a game where Belichick, it was more about Belichick than Brady. But Brady might have done something that, you know, helped them win the game. Like that last drive to get them in field goal range in Super Bowl 36. You know, there's I don't know. It's close. It really is close. And we could debate it all day long. They were successful because of each other.
I have to correct this texter. Can we? He writes, or she writes, the following: can we start realizing that there will be 17 games this year? Let's get the addition correct. There will not be 17 games this season. That will start in 2021. This season, they will add a seventh playoff team. Right?
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
No, isn't it this year? I thought this year it was they're adding the additional playoff team, and then next year is when they add a 17th game.
You might be right. Let me double check.
I'm almost
that.
Positive.
Let me double check that.
Factoid: Jarek Stidham was the sixth ranked quarterback in the 2019 draft class.
Sixth ranked,
behind Will Greer, who was number five.
Oh, interesting. Huh. Okay. Who were the other ones? Did you see, Joe? You can answer the phones, Joe. Answer the phone. Answer the phone. Yeah. He's looking at the computer and he's got the phone in his hand. I'm like, it's okay, Joe. You can answer the phone.
Suspended in midair.
I'm looking this up. 2020 season, four preseason games. So it is 16 regular season games in the 2020 season.
They're adding an additional playoff team in each conference this year.
Yes.
And then next year they will have that as well, but then they will also add a 17th regular season game in 2021.
Right. So next year, expanded playoff field. 2021 expanded in 17 regular season games.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I have the quarterback rankings right here. Kyler Murray, number one. Dwayne Haskins, number two. Drew Lock, three. Daniel Jones, four. Will Greer, five. Then we got Stidham at six.
So if you look at that, then all those other guys, the first four are what? First round picks, I believe? Haskins.
At least the first three.
Yeah. Murray, Haskins, Daniel Jones. Who was the other one?
Greer was five.
Well, who was the other one who was third, I think you said?
Drew Lock.
That's right. And I think they took him in the first round with Denver, right? I think they did. So, okay, you're talking about a kid. Yeah, he was chosen in the fourth round, but if he was really in high demand, maybe he's a second round pick. Like, that's how the draft sort of goes. So I think it's deceiving sometimes. But sixth in the quarterback class, and it's obviously a guy that Belichick liked. So he's going to be a guy we're going to be talking about a lot for sure.
All right. So we have this texter that says the following. Look at the lost Super Bowls, more to do with the defense losing them. That I would disagree with from this standpoint. I know what you're saying, that those two giant Super Bowls in the end, the defense had a chance to come up and make a play and didn't at the end. But I felt like for the better part of 60 minutes, the defense did its job, that Brady and the offense, particularly in 2007 when they set all sorts of records, did not do their job to the level that they should have. You know, in 2007, what was the perfect season? Yeah, was it 07?
2007, yeah.
07, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, to You're me, right. They lost 17-14. That offense, which was prolific all season long, set all sorts of records, scored 14 points.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the defense could not make that final stop, but I put that loss on the offense. I really do.
Yeah.
Just as I put the other loss to the Giants on the offense as well. They scored 17 points in a 21-17 loss to the New York Giants. The Eagles' Super Bowl loss, clearly on the defense. They could not stop a nosebleed.
Well,
so bad.
Clearly.
Brady threw for over 500 yards. Now, granted, at the end, again, but you can go the other way on this, too. You can say, well, Brady and the Patriots offense had the ball with a couple of minutes to go with a chance to go down the field and win, and Brady did not see a front side blitzer, okay? It wasn't backside, front side. The guy strip sacked him and ended the game for the Eagles. So you can say, well, as great as Brady played, he coughed it up. I won't. I'll put that one on the defense. They could not stop Philly that entire game.
I won't put that loss on the defense.
And you put it on Belichick?
I put it on Belichick.
For not playing Malcolm
for
Butler.
For not playing Malcolm Butler. Because that threw everything in the defense off. It threw the whole team off. It did. Everybody's looking on the sideline like, why is this guy not playing? Like, I put that one completely on Belichick. Absolutely. And, okay, yes, what happened at the end of the game happened with Brady, but he threw for 500 yards. It's really hard to say. They didn't, like, oh, and Gronkowski was unbelievable. Like, the offense was unreal in that game.
I still feel like, minus Malcolm Butler, you should be able to hold the Eagles with Nick Foles, the quarterback, to less than 41 points.
Absolutely.
So I'm putting it on the defense.
Sure. But at the same time, if Butler's out there, then guys aren't out of position, and you're not playing guys like Johnson, Batamose. I mean, we've been over this, obviously, but I just think it threw everything out of whack. And it's a mental thing, too. Like, you get told, you know, hours before the game or whatever, like, one of your best defensive players isn't playing, and you have to adjust to a new role that you haven't played in the entire year, you know, in terms of the safeties and the secondary, like, what are we doing? You know, that one is always a mystery to me, and I put a lot of it on Belichick.
All right, 401-737-1287. The phone number, text line is 37937. Back with more of your calls in just a moment. It's Cordishian Coit on WEEI.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Trending now. Now, the WEEI Trending Now.
And here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. So local college basketball news. URI sophomore guard Fats Russell
announcing he is entering his name into the 2020 NBA draft pool. Russell will not hire an agent, however, leaving open the possibility of his return to the Rams. He must withdraw his name from draft consideration by May 31st. Major League Baseball and the Players Union agreeing on the parameters of a deal outlining conditions for the season to begin. Among the conditions detailed in the agreement, they will not return until the ban on mass gatherings is lifted. They will wait until there are no travel restrictions in the U.S. or Canada, and they want to make sure medical experts determine there will be no risk for the players, staff, or baseball fans. Football NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announcing that the 2020 NFL Draft will take place as scheduled April 23rd through the 25th. He said the draft could serve as a very positive purpose for clubs, fans, and the country at large. And finally, former Rhode Islander and ESPN NBA analyst Doris Burke confirming she did test positive for COVID-19, but she is no longer symptomatic and feeling fine. I'm Scott Cordishi. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.